Welcome to Concafé for the fourth day of April, year of our Lord 2024. We're at the point of looking at the psalm, and this week the psalm recommended is Psalm 133, and it's all about unity. In fact, the devotional is called Living in Unity, and I pray this bring a blessing to us. May it bless the church, may it bless us, because we are the church. We are the people that make it happen. We are the ones trying to win the world for Jesus Christ. Ready to get into God's word? I am. Here it is, verse 1. And hold on. Three verses again today, just like yesterday. Verse 1. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. This, dear friends, is the word of God for the people of God. We say, gracias a Dios, thanks be to God. Well, happy Thursday, dear friend. Make this a tremendous Thursday. Bless the Lord with your soul and bless others with joy and love. And friends, as we pray, please add the name of Mrs. Norma Fink, who is from our church at Gonzales. She is battling COVID, and she is assigned to isolate herself in her room, and that's tough for any of us. So pray for her healing, pray for her peace and patience, and pray for others that are battling COVID or other diseases. May the God of love and healing restore all people that have asked of him to normal health. Pray for one another. Lift prayers up for the world, for peace, for harmony, for the mission of winning the world for Jesus Christ. The story goes that Frank never particularly wanted to go to church, but he had promised his wife that he would once they were married. And as was his custom, he was in his usual pew. And when there happened to be a lull in the worship service, his cell phone rang. His wife immediately shushed him, as did two or three other worshipers sitting near him. The faces from the choir could have killed. If looks could kill, he would have been dead. Even the pastor shared her reaction of disgust at such an interruption. As church ended, most people ignored him because they were so upset that he allowed such a thing to happen. That night, Frank, still smarting from the trouble he had caused in the Lord's house, went to Joe's bar down at the corner. Frank ordered a drink, and as he was setting it back down after taking his first sip, he accidentally knocked it over. The bartender immediately wiped it up without saying a word, not a word of reprimand, and when he had thoroughly cleaned the spot, served him another one. Frank's buddies came over and asked if he was all right, slapping him on the back when he said he was okay, just like buddies do. The question, which place would Frank prefer to go back to? Which one would you? The above story, made up by someone on the internet, can and does happen more times than we'd like to admit. And yes, some folks have said there is more love and unity at Joe's Bar down at the corner than there is in most churches. You and I have probably seen and heard things that you would imagine being said anywhere except the Lord's house, but yet there they were. You and I have probably seen some disagreements turn into outright fights. A dear friend once told me that he had left his lapel mic on while he was in his office awaiting worship to start. Being a small church, he was his own sound person, and so the mic was hot, and in comes Sister Business and begins to yell at him for something she had not agreed with during the recent council meeting, and the two began to argue quite loudly. The oldest son of the pastor ran to the office door and knocked. Preacher Dad told him, "Not now, son." "Dad," the boy said, "your mic is on, and people in the sanctuary are hearing you two argue." "Go." Fight over. But friends, you and I have also seen, we've heard, we've experienced the most incredible acts of love compassion and mercy that one cannot and should not really see anywhere but a church. When we had recently arrived to a certain church, I had made friends with the pastor of the Presbyterian in town, and he and I became walking buddies. Every morning we would walk for miles and swap jokes. And one day I woke with the flu, and I called my friend, let him know I would not be walking with him that morning. He later came by our house and left two large grocery bags with cans of chicken noodle soup and canned orange juice and some over-the-counter medicines, a small gesture, he would have said, but a huge gesture of love and care, said I. Friends, I've also seen church members caring for others that could no longer care for themselves. I have seen some people drive other sisters and brothers from the church down the valley to Houston for cancer treatments. And you could add to this list this already long list, your own stories that support what the psalmist said and what the psalmist knew when he wrote those powerful words about how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. This verse supports what we studied yesterday about the first Christian church there at First Church Jerusalem. His addition to better explain this awesome behavior is not a well-known one to us. It's like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard. Now, the custom of pouring oil on our heads, as far as I know, has pretty much faded away. As for Aaron, well, he's been long dead, and the dew of Hermon falling on Mount Zion doesn't compute for most of us. And some scholars associate the dew of Hermon being symbolic of abundance, blessing, and freshness with which we can relate. We do know and believe that wherever God bestows his blessings, that, dear friends, is a blessed place, as is life everlasting. Unity is not merely the absence of conflict, but the presence of harmony, cooperation, and love. When God's people come together in unity, it not only blesses them, but also reflects God's character to the world. Unity draws others to the beauty of the gospel and fosters an environment where God's blessings can flow easily. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of unity among your people. Help us to cherish and cultivate unity in our churches, families, and communities. Pour out your Spirit upon us that we may be bound together in love and mutual respect. May our unity be a testimony to your goodness and grace, drawing others into relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friend, have a great and blessed day in the Lord. Here's your call to action. Seek where you can add to the unity of God's people and do it. I love you and I thank God for you, and I pray the blessings of God bless and protect you, keep you now and forever. Amen.